1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Growing calls for President Biden to step aside following Thursday night's debate performance, in which Biden's halting and meandering statements have raised concerns about his ability to serve another 4 years as president. On Friday, the president vowing to continue, though, delivering a forceful speech at the Stonewall National Monument in New York.
We're in the battle for the soul of America. But I look around at the pride, hope, and light that all of you bring. I know it was a battle we're going to win.
The New York Times editorial board publishing an op-ed calling for Biden to step down. The Supreme Court on Friday moved to limit a federal obstruction charge that's been levied against hundreds of January 6 defendants, as well as former President Trump. The justices ruled obstructing an official proceeding must include proof that defendants tried to tamper with or destroy documents. A court in New Mexico putting Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter case on track to head to trial in early July. This is ABC News. A new study giving reassurance that heat treatment, also known as pasteurization, kills bird flu virus in cow's milk.
When bird flu was first detected in U.S. dairy cows earlier this year, there were no studies of whether heat treatment killed the virus in cow's milk. A study in April found dead remnants, but no live virus. The Food and Drug Administration was encouraged by studies on the pasteurization of eggs, which killed the virus. Smaller studies had mixed results, but a new, larger, more complex one at a federal research center in Athens, Georgia, indicated pasteurization does kill bird flu in milk. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The National Park Service says Friday that it intends to ban hunters from baiting bears in national preserves in Alaska. The new rule, set to take effect later this summer, would bar sport hunters from using bait such as bacon grease, pastries, syrup, or dog food to attract bears. Agency says it's concerned about encouraging them to become conditioned to human-like food. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Mino and the Mayor.
I got a text from some friends of mine. They're working for Habitat for Humanity today.
Oh, great.
I might run over there, just put on the tool belt and just kind of midriff shirt, whatever, and just kind of do some work.
Get a little sheen going.
Get a little sheen going for the ladies.
Yeah. The Mino Sheen.
Hey, that would be a good, like, fragrance, like a cologne.
Mino Sheen. What is she looking for?
Hey, you smell really good, yeah. Big boy.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wildlife advocates are filing another legal challenge to Wisconsin's wolf management plan. Mike Moan reports.
The coalition announced the appeal this week, and it centers on how the management plan came together under the state DNR. A judge dismissed the original lawsuit earlier this spring. It accused an agency panel of breaking the rules for how it interacted with special interest groups tied to hunting. Melissa Smith with Friends of the Wisconsin Wolf and Wildlife says by favoring certain voices, other wildlife groups are left behind.
It's quite egregious that the citizens of Wisconsin do not have any legal standing to challenge the rules in any decisions that's wildlife related.
The coalition says the judge's decision conflicts with principles under the public trust doctrine. The Department of Natural Resources says it cannot respond to pending litigation. This legal activity comes a few months after federal officials opted to keep the gray wolf on the endangered species list. State law requires a wolf hunt if the animal is delisted from federal protections, but the new management plan doesn't include a goal with specific numbers. Instead, the plan focuses on sustainability. Meanwhile, Smith says she wants state rules to be consistent.
If you look at the deer plan, our Wisconsin deer plan, it states plain as day that deer are held in the public trust. So it seems that it's pretty inconsistent when they decide something is held in the public trust and when something is not.
Hunting and farming groups contend the gray wolf population has grown too large, putting livestock at risk. But conservationists say these concerns are often overstated, that management efforts need to be rooted in science. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms and lows in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds and highs to the low 80s. Lots of sun and low 70s Sunday. Increasing clouds Monday, a chance of storms by night, highs low 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, it's Motown Monday, and I'll be joined by South Carolina Congressman Jim Clyburn. We'll discuss some of the issues that are impacting you and I every day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Good Luck America Friday edition. Welcome to it, little buddy.
Hey, it's the debate hangover edition. Good to see you again, Crudy. Yeah, I swear I just saw you not so long ago. You too, Rich, had a blast with you. Thank you as well. And our fair audience, welcome to the Devil's Advocates. For those of you who showed up at the Barrymore last night, thank you so much. It was a blast, although the debate a little difficult to watch at times.
Well, here's the good news. It's Friday. We aired the grievances.
It's a perfect day.
And I got a lot of problems with the outcome of last night's debate. And I got called early this morning by The Guardian, unexpectedly. Wanted an interview. How'd the big party go? What was the sentiment of the crowd? Ooh,
not so great.
Well, we'll talk about that. And, you know, we'll talk about our party because there was some press that noted that a lot of fine Devil's Advocates listeners got together last night at the Barrymore Theater. As Dom mentioned, thank you to so many of you fine people, and Dave Blaska also. He was there. I didn't see CJ, but curmudgeon, conservative blogger, Dave Blaska, alternative Trump delegate from 2016, he had his white Make America Great Again hat. And the only reason we mentioned Blaska is Blaska invited us to Scott Walker's party at 2016 in Cleveland. And we came at Blaska's invitation, and somehow that didn't get us in the door, but they did have a big debt to fill. Scott Walker's presidential campaign sort of ended in the red, if you'll recall, Dom. Had to sell him your email and a lot of others. So anyways, we snuck into the party on the good word of David Blaska.
And the shiny red convertible that they saw you driving, I think, was also helpful.
Well, they thought I might have money. How mistaken were they?
It's all right. Never judge a book by its cover.
The many, many things the Scott Walker campaign got wrong, thinking I was a possible contributor. Oh, is that rich? So a little fuzzy. Some are a little fuzzy. I was a little fuzzier earlier today when I took that phone call. But let's start with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's coverage of our little soiree last night in part.
Good luck, America, is the headline. Biden debate performance leaves voters in liberal Madison lamenting choice. That's you people. You were there. And so many of you are quoted here. So I'm going to read some of you back your quotes. We'll quote the Devil's Advocates audience back to the Devil's Advocates audience, Tom. Even in Wisconsin's liberal bastion, the capital city of Madison, President Joe Biden's debate performance with former President Donald Trump left voters at a watch party lamenting their choice in the election. Biden's voice was hoarse and raspy from the start Thursday night. He stumbled over words and had to correct himself with numbers. He was sometimes hard to follow. On one occasion, the president appeared to lose his train of thought, concluding confusingly with the line, "We finally beat Medicare." Yes, there were a few confusing lines. Noah Anders, 24, grimaced when asked what he thought about the debate. Noah, apparently one of the fine attendees. "It was a painful experience to sit through. Neither candidate inspires our country," Anders said. The Madison resident, soon to start law school at the University of Wisconsin, said the debates left him with concerns about Biden's cognitive abilities, but also questions about Trump's mental abilities. "To be president, you deal with a lot of tough issues, and I don't know if they have the ability to navigate the nuance and hardships of the job," he said. Good luck, America.
Good luck, America. Probably the best sentiment I've heard all day.
Timothy Sanders, 48, another Devil's Advocates Party attendee at the Barrymore Theater, said despite the president's shaky performance, he's still optimistic about Biden. But he acknowledged the president didn't sound as crisp at times, that optics could be important in the election. "I'm not concerned at all about the age. If you had a grandpa, you took who took you fishing and had a stutter, you'd still trust him. You wouldn't put him in a debate on live television if you could avoid that because that's entertainment. That's not fair." Well, but he is running for office. He's kind of got to do that. Sanders vowed to campaign for Biden because he doesn't want to see Trump elected again. "I think we're at a very dangerous place," he said. I don't think he meant the Barrymore Theater per se.
No, I don't think so.
Now, here is how they describe it. The comments came at what should have been a friendly space for the Democratic president. Oh, it was a friendly space for everyone last night.
It was welcoming for all.
The debate was hosted at the Barrymore Theater by Madison-based The Devil's Advocates Radio. Some say the greatest radio show ever. I just added that in. And The Progressive Magazine, our partners, a political publication based in the same city. Several hundred attendees wore Biden-Harris t-shirts and enthusiastically purchased popcorn and beer. We told you, bring beer, buddy, right? Then the televised debate started. Our pal Jesse Clingan, here's his quote. "I resent having to choose one of them." Oh, God. Jesse described as a 42-year-old construction worker from Milwaukee. "It's kind of picking the worst of two evils," Clingan said. "But at the end of the day, I'd rather have Biden on his worst day than Trump at all."
Absolutely.
Heidi Robertson, 48, a job coach in Madison, said she noticed Biden was a bit fumbly and that it felt cringy. But he was saying what he was saying was good. "He's going too fast. He needs to slow down his talking to get all his thoughts out." You know, that's always good advice when you're doing broadcast. I sometimes get a little ahead of my thoughts, if you know what I'm saying. Now, the debate could compound a big problem in Biden's campaign in a vital swing state of Wisconsin, flagging enthusiasm for his campaign amongst Democrats. And they go on to quote Charles Franklin, not from the event last night, although Charles was one of the fine panelists, he and Maggie Dawn, but they talked about the closeness of the Marquette University Law School polling, Dom, and the enthusiasm that apparently is currently on the Republican side. And I got to tell you, there was plenty of enthusiasm for the spotted cows last night, Dom. Yeah. But less so for Joe Biden. There were a lot of people. There were hundreds when we started. And by the end, the post-debate panel, and, you know, we appreciate all that stayed to the wee hours. But it was a smaller crowd. It wasn't hundreds anymore. Just some hardcore rehashing post-debate. And anyways, Dom, it was a little tough to watch, I'll admit.
I walked
out of the room within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was. I kind of stayed in like the doorway between the lobby and the theater so I could keep an ear, keep an eye, you know, talk to some folks, keep the bar in sight. You know, I had to go refill once in a while. So it was a good spot because I didn't have to dedicate myself entirely, because when he had the brain fart, when Joe Biden kind of lost his chain of thought, and I got to tell you, as a guy who does a little talking himself, I appreciate that. I've lost my chain of thought before, but I got Crudy here to help me out, help me remember. That was certainly cringeworthy. It was tough. The delivery, content, right, versus the delivery. I think what some of the folks said is absolutely correct. He said all the right things, and I would rather have old-ass Joe Biden forgetting his chain of thought, saying the right things, going to his deathbed, saying the right things, defending this country, defending democracy, versus a guy like Donald Trump who lied continually and freely without enough pushback from Joe, in my opinion, and certainly the moderators. I'm not clear if there's anything that the moderators would have taken objection to had Trump said even more boastful lies. So I had an issue with that. At the end of the day, Joe was saying the right things. He continues to say the right things. Donald Trump is a danger to this country, and he continually lied unopposed. And Joe had opportunity, and when he did take the opportunity, when he did push back a little bit on the former president, I feel like he could have done it a little stronger. I think he actually missed a few opportunities. And that was just me kind of ducking in and out and having conversations. I took some informal polls in the restroom. No, man, a couple of times, nobody was happy. Nobody was happy with that performance.
I feel like it was a pass-fail for Joe Biden. This whole debate was about Joe Biden. I think, is he capable? Is he vigorous enough? And last night was a fail. He failed the test. And it's unfortunate.
But it's still only one night. He's out there today. We'll have some sound. Perhaps we'll bring it in the
first That is
hour.
Way more encouraging. You should hear, and yeah, you will hear
this,
Joe
okay,
Biden
but this
today.
Is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. There's literally bad days. Obama came out. Hell, I had bad days. I said last night, Obama lost that first debate as well. So, you know, I get it, and I'm still kind of processing everything. And you see, and I, you know, folks like Bill Press, you know, folks at The Nation Magazine, you know, people that, you know, I look to and appreciate their opinions on these issues, and a lot of people are conflicted. What do the Dems do? What does Joe do? Who do go forward? And I still think, you know, at the end of the day, hell, man, it was a bad day. Joe, he's out there today. He's doing it again. He'll just keep on doing it. The days are going to get worse and worse for Donald Trump. And if you're going to compare delivery versus content, Donald Trump had a terrible debate. There wasn't a debate. It was just Donald Trump out there spewing lies over and over and over again.
But nobody called Trump out on his lies in real time.
Not enough.
Biden wasn't effective at trying to call out his opponent. I mean, it was his job. And you can complain, the moderators. I did complain last night. The moderators aren't doing their job. They're not fact-checking. But Joe Biden also, he's out there, right? This was, all the focus was on the candidates. And it wasn't on the moderators. And maybe a little insertion, Jake Tapper. I mean, what was the one thing I took away from the moderation? When they told Biden, one of his answers, you still got 82 seconds left, sir. They were more concerned about the timing, but 82 seconds, Dom. You could say a lot in 82 seconds, right?
Yeah, you could say a lot of lies in 82 seconds. Trump did, talking about, you know, moderators and media specifically, and Tapper said thank you. Folks, where the devil's happy, because come back 844.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Max Inc. Radio.
From Puerto Rico to Wisconsin, Chera's sultry songwriting showcases her life. She's in studio for a live Saturday night concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, rocker and Jimmy K.
Weekend evenings, 6 until midnight, on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. The post-debate hangover continues. We're airing the grievances. If you have some, I'm sure some of you do. 844-967-2789.
Dom, my takeaway last night. Great party, bad debate. Bad debate performance by Joe Biden. And, you know, buddy, it was a late night. Thank you to our co-panelists, Maggie Dawn and Charles Franklin. But Maggie did some real-time rehashing. We went to Paul's here on State Street. And she had a hotel room.
Did you solve
room.
All the world's problems, man? I mean, what's the solution?
Well... I can tell you it's not staying up late post-party and after the debate with Maggie Dawn. That is a recipe for a hangover.
Sounds like a good time. Sorry I missed it.
You did miss it. And then I got a phone call this morning from a fine reporter at The Guardian, Alice Herman. And first a text, hey, would love to interview you about the party last night. And I'm like, okay, bring. I mean, I didn't know. She was like... And I'm on a deadline is what she should have said, because she was looking to publish an article earlier today, and she did. And the headline at this one, at The Guardian, Dom, it scares me. Voters voice disappointment and alarm over Biden's debate performance. I'm going to quote here, Dom. I'm going to read this one a little bit. Even Democrats are now saying that it might be time for Biden to hang up the spurs after a disastrous debate. Alice Herman in Madison, Wisconsin, and then George Chidley in Atlanta, this coverage, Dom. And they are quoting some Wisconsinites, so we're going to start local. Ron Ringland is the president of a machine shop in southern Wisconsin. At 71 years old, he knows what it's like to keep working after many have retired and had shrugged off concerns about Joe Biden's age until last night. He's quoted, I was thinking, well, it's just Republicans are putting that out there to make him look bad, you know, but he looked bad last night, said Ringland, who said he usually votes for Democrats and views Donald Trump as a threat to democracy. Wisconsin's neck and neck right now, and just one thing can make the difference. And I think last night could have been the difference, and it scares me. After Biden's difficult debate performance on Thursday, Democrats and independent voters in swing states say they're increasingly disappointed and alarmed by the choice before them in November. Top Democrats are reportedly discussing whether Biden can step aside and allow someone else to get the nomination at the party's national convention in August. Joe Biden is not having it, guys. I'm telling you, Joe Biden's out on the campaign trail today, much more vigorous. We're going to play that sound. In the 4 o'clock hour, we've got fine guests like Joe Sapecki, a Dem strategist. He'll give us reason to be optimistic, I hope. Give me something to believe in, Joe. And then former U.S. Attorney James Santel is going to help catch us up on all the legal wranglings. Bad news out of the Supreme Court today, Dom. But back to this article. Now, Ringland said he's open to the idea of someone else stepping in for Biden, but wasn't sure who would have the national name recognition. And perhaps we can talk about that, Dom. And then the next person they quote, I'm going to quote Crudy.
Allow myself to introduce myself?
anyways, Ringland says, I'm not sure that it would work, but it might be the only choice. That's what he said.
Now, the only chance to replace Biden, according to Ringland. Okay.
Yes. Now, Mike Crude, who co-hosts a progressive talk radio show, well, they got to call us progressives, Dom, but... I'll wear that badge. radio show in Wisconsin called The Devil's Advocates threw a debate watch party in Deep Blue, Madison last night. The mood in the venue was grim. Crudy says, it was hard. Even hosting the party, he could barely watch, he writes. Again, Crudy quoting Crudy. I walked out of the room, I drank copiously, and I came back into the room, and you know, it was still Joe. Crudy, who describes himself as a birdiecrat, said he had nonetheless resigned himself to pushing for Biden during the campaign, and as tough as the debate was, he's not sure Biden can be convinced to step down. If you're the most powerful man, again, Crudy quoting Crudy, if you're the most powerful man in the world, who wants to say, no, I'm too old to do the job? I don't know. It would have to come from his wife. I don't know who else could tell Joe, hey, Joe, it's time to hang up the spurs. Is anybody telling Joe time to hang up the spurs? I mean, the chatter can be out there in the universe, Tom. But is anyone influential to Joe saying it? Because that's not the attitude he took today. I had a bad night. You know, you get knocked down, you get back up again. That's Joe's attitude today. That doesn't sound like a man who's, you know, rehashing whether or not he wants to commit to the race.
It doesn't seem like he's engaging in the philosophical exercise as to whether or not he's capable, willing, and wants to continue to do the job. I think he certainly wants to continue to do the job. And it was tough to watch, man. It was a bad debate. It was bad. Obama's debate with Romney was bad. No, this was worse. But you got to, you know, it's only one debate. It's only one thing. This is what we know. He acted like an 81-year-old man last night. My stereotypical impression of what an 81-year-old man would be like, that was Joe last night. And I will take that. Again, I tell you, I can't sit here and say I'm going to take the weekend at Bernie's, you know, dead Joe Biden or his head in a jar or whatever the case is and not understand and acknowledge that there are going to be times like this. There are going to be times like this. And so until Joe decides to, what you say, hang up the spurs, it's still Joe. It's still going to be Joe. It's still always going to be Joe, because not comparing him to the Almighty, you're comparing him to the alternative. And that alternative, which we haven't really got to, how do we articulate and identify and specify the lies and the BS that were spewing out of Trump's mouth yesterday? Trump had his own issues. He lost a chain of thought of his own time. He mumbled a few times and, you know, blah, 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 oh, we got to fix that. Or, you know, no one knows every single thing like it. We saw that from Joe. But it was overshadowed because our expectations were so much higher for the president. But I think the waves died down, man. And we'll see what happens.
I think Joe was way overcooked. Way overcooked last night.
Absolutely.
I mean, hoarse, to the point of being hoarse when he came to the stage.
Tell the guy, you know, the details on the spreadsheets, man. Big pictures. That's what people want to hear. Joe got to be Joe. What Joe's not good at, doing math on the radio.
He was terrible at that. We're not very good either. So we
try. That's why we don't do it, man.
Here's Joe Biden's tweet today. Folks, I might not walk as easily or talk as smoothly as I used to. I might not debate as well as I used to. But what I do know is how to tell the truth. And I intend to win the election, he says. In North Carolina, we'll play you that sound a little bit later. You on the phones next. If you dial now, 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Growing calls for President Biden to step aside following Thursday night's debate performance, in which Biden's halting and meandering statements have raised concerns about his ability to serve another 4 years as president. On Friday, the president vowing to continue, though, delivering a forceful speech at the Stonewall National Monument in New York.
We're in the battle for the soul of America. But I look around at the pride, hope, and light that all of you bring. I know it was a battle we're going to win.
The New York Times editorial board publishing an op-ed calling for Biden to step down. The Supreme Court on Friday moved to limit a federal obstruction charge that's been levied against hundreds of January 6 defendants, as well as former President Trump. The justices ruled obstructing an official proceeding must include proof that defendants tried to tamper with or destroy documents. A court in New Mexico putting Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter case on track to head to trial in early July. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
another Brewers Grand Slam. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cubs 4-2 here at American Family Field. Three Brewers have now hit Grand Slams this week. Reese Hoskins, Jake Bauer, and this time it was rookie Jackson Churio, bottom of the fourth on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
The 1-2, Churio in the air.
It's Churio's first career Grand Slam. Pat Murphy on the 20-year-old's progress.
You've watched it. You know, the kid is learning, and he's made the most of his opportunities lately, and you can see why, you know, our people decided to sign him long-term.
The Cubs fall to 38-45 on the season and remain in last place. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
I think we got to plan on scoring more runs. You know, we've got to score more runs. No question about it. That's a part of this for sure.
Again, the Brewers with a 4-2 win from American Family Field with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms and lows in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds and highs to the low 80s. Lots of sun and low 70s Sunday. Increasing clouds Monday, a chance of storms by night, highs low 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
This is what you decide. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm calling it now before the opinion actually drops. On Monday, the Supreme Court is going to decide that in some situations, American presidents are kings. There's no better place to hear the breakdown.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the glass.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Thank God, Dominic. We made it. We made it till Friday. The post-debate hangover edition. We got some fine guests joining the show, including Joe Sopecki, about an hour from now, and James Santel, former U.S. attorney. He's coming in the 5 o'clock happy hour. I don't know if I got one more of those in me today, Dom.
So many.
We're going to get to the phones momentarily at 844-967-2789. But, Dom, I'm glad you're showing your face publicly today after being so wrong.
About what? Trump showing up yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, Trump showed up. Yes. Yeah. I never said he wouldn't. I just said it at the time it was a 50-50. I wasn't wrong. I was just putting odds out there. Should have taken the action, Crudy.
They did not shake hands either.
No, they did not.
Gary would have owed me some dinner.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. Christina from Sheboygan. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Christina.
Hey. I feel like they completely over-prepared Joe last night. Like, I feel like they gave him so much information. Like, you have to say this point. You have to say this point. Blah, blah, blah. It felt like to me that everything he was trying to say was just bottlenecking in his brain, and he couldn't get it out. I don't know. I just feel like, but you guys are right. Everything he said was good things, but it's the voters that, you know, the independents or whoever, the undecided voters, which honestly, I can't believe anyone is undecided at this point, but it's those voters where it's like, they're going to see that, you know, people that like Trump that talk loud and confidently, it doesn't matter what they say because they're like, oh, you know, they're going to be naturally drawn to that guy because he seems confident, right? Even though he's completely lying. I don't know.
Christina, let me ask you, after seeing that last, after seeing that last night, is it your impression that, number one, you'll continue to support and vote for Biden? Two, you want to see him replaced on the Dem ticket? Or do you have other voting preferences?
I would vote for a piece of cardboard if it wasn't Trump. I don't think Joe's a bad guy either. Yeah, he's elderly, whatever. But he has good intentions. And if this is how he wants to, you know, he's trying, you know, he has a good heart, right? I feel like he does. I think he's, I don't know. I'm having a Joe moment because I can't talk either. But yeah. See, it happens to the best of us, right?
It certainly does.
A bad night. I think he was just too psyched up, man. He just needed to go out there like he does on the campaign trail. You know, I was watching on MSNBC, and then right after the debate, they showed him going out on a stage to supporters, and he was completely fine.
Christina,
like, Dom
said to me, maybe Joe Biden missed the crowd more than Trump did. You know, we all thought Trump would miss the crowd, but Biden didn't seemingly have any crowd to draw enthusiasm off of.
Yeah, I think the higher up Democrats that you know run all this stuff, I think that they miscalculated that. They thought that Trump was going to completely fail and whatever. But Trump's got like ADD or something, you know. Like I think since there was no audience there, he wasn't distracted. So they told him, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to say. Keep saying this over and over and over, and he was able to stay on it.
Well, stay on lies, but Christina, yes, we certainly appreciate your listenership and
words
you contributing.
Continue to confidently come out of his mouth. Yes, that is true. Again, the content versus delivery are two entirely separate things. And, you know, there's been a joke with me and my friends and family for a very long time. If you say it with confidence, it must be true. And that's the impression. I think, Christina, you'll point it to that. So if you're just tuning in and you don't know that Nancy Pelosi didn't take responsibility for not bringing in the National Guard, and you didn't know that that was totally false and fabricated and incorrect, inaccurate, however you want to claim it, and you didn't know that, you didn't hear the moderators pushing back, you didn't hear Joe, you know, sufficiently pushing back, you might think, oh, damn. Well, what about that? And it sticks to you because he said it with confidence. Well, of course, it's not true. It's not true.
844-967-2789.
And don't talk about golf. I don't want to hear golf. Come on, man. Golf.
Come on, man.
Really,
I'm a 6 handicap.
Are you kidding me?
Trump was more offended by that statement by Joe Biden last night than anything else Joe said. Policy, he said, I'm a 6 handicap, and Trump about lost his mind.
It's just, I mean, nobody cares, dude. I mean, you want to talk about things that nobody cares about? It's your golf game.
I don't believe.
Literally, dude.
I don't believe Joe is a 6 handicap either. Just like I don't believe Trump's a 2 handicap or whatever he claims. Guys that really lie about their handicap in golf, I mean, it's like telling fish stories. Should see the whopper that got away to him.
It would be about as interesting and relevant if they're sharing their fish stories. It's absolutely irrelevant. You know what? When he kind of talked about his golf game, you should have brought around and said, yeah, but how about, you know, having women have the right of their own autonomy over their own body, Trump? You know what I'm saying? You don't talk about golf. Nobody cares about golf. Don't get sucked into that. How about, hey, remember when you raped that lady? You know what I'm saying? Why would you go down that road? Nobody cares about golf.
844-967-2789. I used to care quite a bit about golf, and then I start doing a radio show. Victor from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hello, Victor.
I listened on the radio last night. Biden sounded great. Continual punches, knockdowns. The morals of an alley cat, great knockdown. If I'll take you on in golf if you carry your own clubs, another great knockdown. Biden won every round. If that was a boxing match, continual knockdowns, knock the guy out, you know.
You know, that's unusual, Victor. Once upon a time, Kennedy and Nixon debated on TV, and it was played out on radio, and TV wasn't such a big thing then. And those that watched on television clearly thought that Nixon lost. But those that listened on the radio thought that Nixon had won. And the biggest difference is the visual imagery of the former president Nixon. Nixon had lots of flop sweat and he looked terrible.
I would say those
that visually watched it, they even had Joe at like a weird camera angle. Lots of times Joe was like looking down stage, sort of side-eyeing his thing. I'm sorry, go ahead, Victor.
Another thing was throughout the whole debate, they referred to Trump as President Trump. Well, come on, former president or Mr. Trump. It was always kind of, you know, they both called them, you know, both presidents.
Yeah, that's problematic.
But, that was another thing until the end when they – the end of the debate, you know, they could SNL could do this weekend the whole hour and a half thing with Jim Carrey and Alec Baldwin and like word for word, and it would come off as Trump being the lunatic he is, you know.
Well, they could certainly do Victor, let me ask you, you said you listened to it on the radio. Have you seen any video clips? And of the video clips that if you did see them, did that change your mind at all?
No. I don't think so, because he still, you know, Biden couldn't remember. It was the first. You notice when Trump, it went by really fast, and he said, "Talk to him, Brandon." Do you remember hearing that? No.
I didn't note that part, Victor. I'm sorry. There were some distractions. And there was a line to get drinks sometimes, so I was in the line some of the evening. I had a hard time being in the room and watching it in real time. And, Dom, we've been to plenty of political events, and this was the hardest for me to watch. I don't recall ever just being repulsed in the same way, like emotionally, I had
come on. Then when the returns came in, when Trump beat Hillary the first time around in 16, it felt a little like that to me.
Did Joe Biden lose the election last night?
I don't think so.
You're the same guy that was wrong about whether or not Trump would show up last night.
Listen, once again, I laid out some odds at 50-50. I was not wrong. No one took me up on it. And I was right around.
Come on, man. You were saying he wasn't coming. You were 50-50 on debate day. You were offering 50-50 odds. Up until then, it was 0%.
Up until he shows up, he shows up. No, man, he had a bad night. I think Joe Biden had a bad night. He's an old guy. He acted like an old guy who had a bad night. That's going to happen. Guy is 81 years old. You know, again, how is he today? How is he tomorrow? How is he in the next debate? What's his record like? What's his policy like? What are the things that he's saying? What are the actions that he's doing? You know, those are the things that matter. And, you know, we have vice presidents for a reason. If the guy gets incapacitated, something happens, you know, Kamala Harris is right there. You know, it was tough to watch. It wasn't as bad. And for the other thing, as a guy who's I'm an independent streak myself, I voted for a lot of, let's say, call it losing candidates in my life. You know what I mean? So I'm not as struck by the bad performance, because you know I get kind of used to it sometimes. I know I think this will pass. I think how he comes out of this, and what really is interesting to me is how we react, how you react, how Rich reacts, how I react, how the pundits react, how the DNC, the elected Dems, how the independents, how do they react? If you were a for Joe, and I am for Joe, when you come up with this adversity, when you have a bad night, your reaction, I think, is telling not only about yourself, but about the philosophy and the political party you subscribe to. And I think it was a little shocking to be disappointed like that when Joe had that first brain fart. Man, that was tough. But after, you know, here we are 20 hours later, I'm looking back at it. I heard him a little bit today. It's a bad day, man. People have bad days. It doesn't take away from what he's done. It certainly doesn't take away from what Trump has done and said and must still answer to. So, no, man, I think there's a long way to go. Do you think he lost the election last night?
Yes, I think he lost the election last night.
So
I think
what?
Joe Biden lost. I think there are one of two choices at this late hour. And there are plenty of people on the text line that I do observe and I do read, and occasionally I'll read them aloud. There are people all over the text line saying you can't switch horses in midstream. And I honestly don't think that will happen. I don't think there is a plan B presidential candidate waiting in the wings that doesn't have their own flaws, their own issues. Lack of a campaign would be one of them, right? There's no one out there putting together the infrastructure, the ground game, all the different stuff. So now you're relying entirely upon the party. So to switch out Joe, theoretically, would include Joe Biden. Joe Biden would have to say, I am not capable of doing this. And Joe Biden's not going to come to that conclusion because he's out there on the stump today.
No, when Obama lost that first debate to Mitt Romney, and it was a
different circumstance.
Debate.
Obama is a completely different human being than Joe Biden, obviously. And he's 40 years his junior, dude. I mean, Biden's going to have a lot more bad days between now and election day.
To Joe Biden because he's younger? I mean, I'm just unclear.
This was a pass fail, and he failed. The question, the American public, those tuning in for the first time, tuned in and saw a doddering old man who did not look capable of doing the job. And I say that as a guy who intends to vote for him. I'm holding my breath. I'm going to do whatever I can, man. But even U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is walking away from Joe Biden today. We'll talk about that next. I mean, she's got her own campaign to run, and she doesn't want to associate her brand with the Biden brand. And I got to tell you, we've got like 4 months of shows between now and Election Day. And I greatly fear the alternative. So you'll hear me propping up Joe any way I can. But today I'm telling you the truth. I think he lost the election last night.
That's your opinion. I absolutely disagree. Folks, 844-967-2789.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, The Talk of Green Bay.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. Post-debate hangover edition. Join us there. The grievances, 844-967-2789. Big show stacked for you today. Joe Zepecki, Dem strategist. He's coming in at 4:30. Love to hear what Joe has to say. James Santel, host of, not Morning Cannolis anymore. What is
Amicus,
it?
Host of Amicus. A law review.
On Saturdays, he's going to join us at 5 o'clock to review the rulings from the U.S. Supreme Court. It's been a hell of a day already, man.
Yes, it has. Tammy Baldwin distances herself from Biden after debate night stumbles. This is what's being reported by the Journal Sentinel here today, Dom. And we will endeavor to take more of your calls. 844-967-2789. We air the grievances. And I may have the same one that Senator Baldwin has. Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin today sought to distance herself from President Joe Biden following a rocky presidential debate performance that led some Democrats to question his ability to continue to lead the party. Now, here's a quote from her campaign. Tammy Baldwin is running her own race for the people of Wisconsin, the campaign spokesperson told the Journal Sentinel. Her focus will always be on showing up across the state, listening to working Wisconsinites, and fighting to make their lives better. Now, Baldwin's campaign initially declined to say whether Baldwin supported Biden as the Democrats' 2024 nominee before offering a one-sentence response. Tammy supports the president. The comments from Baldwin, who is in a tight election race that could determine the balance of the Senate, came as many Democrats stressed over Biden's shaky debate performance Thursday night against former President Donald Trump. Biden stumbled over his words. You that watched and listened on the radio, you know, have your own conclusions. But the debate was notable for the current president, who trails Trump in polling in many key swing states and faces low favorability ratings in Wisconsin. And it underscored questions of whether Biden's unpopularity could hurt Democrats like Baldwin in down-ballot races. Here's a quote from our fine guest yesterday at the Barrymore Theater, Charles Franklin. I think you've already seen in the Senate campaign try to run somewhat independently of the president. Last night's debate will probably make Democratic incumbents everywhere try to find ways to run on their own record and to separate that from a very unpopular president. Tammy Baldwin walking away from Joe Biden, at least rhetorically today.
It's a far cry from walking away. I would question that headline. Tepid support, perhaps. Certainly not walking away.
Had to be asked twice whether or not she would support Biden as the nominee. And she basically said, well, Tammy does what Tammy does, right?
Yes.
Without mentioning, they're asking him about Biden.
I got it. I understand. We just talked about it. We just read it. She nowhere in there walked away. That's not what she did. Here's what Ben Vogel had to say. He is the spokesman for Eric Hovde, Tammy's opponent. Vogel said it was, quote, not surprising that President Biden struggled to explain the disastrous consequences of the inflationary and open borders policy Senator Baldwin fully supports. The Republican spokesman goes on to say what's more surprising is that Baldwin wants 4 more years of runaway inflation and open borders that have allowed dangerous criminals, terrorists, and deadly drugs to flood our country. Yeah.
844-967-2789. Our pal Chris from Sun Prairie, she was at the party with Jerry last night. Nice to see you both, Chris. Welcome back. Chris, what do you got for us?
Yeah. Hi, it was great to see you. Well, gosh, so much going on this morning. I guess what I'd like to say is I'd really like to see Democrats stop beating their own up. You know, I'm really, really tired of this. We watched this with Howard Dean when he went yow, and then he was out of the presidency. Al Gore didn't get the support he needed. Al Franken was drummed out of the Senate, and he shouldn't have been. Democrats need to stop beating their own up. And I really think that they should start, like, taking some of these lies that Trump told and start putting out information about that. I really would love to see them do that. And I really think that somebody should take the opportunity to maybe talk about the fact that President Biden had a speech impediment as a child. And it's very difficult for people when they get tired to, you know, compensate for the problems with their speech. He is an older man. I don't think it means that his intellect is, you know, compromised. And I really think that what these pundits on TV are doing is a disgrace. And I really think people should just stop. And I think that this should open up a conversation about people that have speech impediments and have some disabilities. Because I think that what's happening here in this age where we're all supposed to be, like, you know, really aware of everybody's being neurodivergent and having other problems, that people are not understanding the fact that this man had a speech impediment. And this is what kept him out of the presidency for many, many years. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Chris, you know, he also had a little...
And Tammy Baldwin, I would vote for her if she doesn't support him. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, Joe Biden ran for president 3 times. He failed of his own accord in 78. Was it 78, 76? With plagiarism accusations. Now, he overcame that eventually, and he was elected to the presidency. But, Chris, what I think you have to understand is when you say... You know, a tired man with a speech impediment is going to not show well. But the whole question of Sleepy Joe, Tired Joe, is whether or not he had the vigor. So just simply saying, well, he was tired. Well, why the hell didn't he take a nap? Why'd they have him overcooked, overprepped, tired horse? I mean, they brought the man to the stage horse.
It was a bad for him. I mean, the whole thing was a terrible bad for him. I mean, not having fact checkers was just wrong to begin with. To have anything on something called news where there's no fact checkers and to allow Trump to lie like that was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. The Democrats should have never agreed to it to begin with.
Well, of course, the Biden campaign thought they put one over on Trump, right? No audience, cut off mics, no fact checkers. And you saw how Joe performed. Chris, thanks for being at the party. Come on backy. Happy hour is next. Joe Sopecki joining us very soon, 4:30. And... how Joe sounds today. It's like he's a different human being. You'll be encouraged, those of you that think he lost the election last night.
Crudy.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Coming up on Monday, Johnny's off, so Frank Hermans joins me on the show. Brittany Merlot will have our weather forecast for the week, and we'll get a final report from Peter and Tracy Flukey about their tandem bike trip to New York City.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. The Supreme Court handing down several rulings Friday, including a case out of Oregon over whether cities can outlaw homeless encampments. The High Court ruled the laws do not violate the Eighth Amendment's cruel and unusual punishments clause. Anitra Freeman is a formerly homeless person in Seattle.
Frankly, we expected it. We know there's a six-person conservative majority on the Supreme Court.
The High Court also significantly curtailed the scope of an obstruction charge that's been levied against numerous January 6th rioters. More than 2 years after a gunman killed 19 students and two teachers at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, prosecutors filing charges against the former school district police chief and one of his officers over their delay in confronting the shooter. Growing calls for President Biden to withdraw from the 2024 presidential race following his debate performance Thursday. The New York Times editorial board calling for him to step aside. This is ABC News.
Multiple homes.
A measure of prices that's closely tracked by the Federal Reserve is suggesting that inflation is continuing to ease.
Consumer prices were flat from April to May, the mildest performance in more than 4 years, says the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, or PCE, a government report. Measured from a year earlier, prices rose 2.6% last month, slightly less than in April. When you take out volatile food and energy costs like gasoline, inflation from April to May was just 0.01%. It's encouraging for those hoping for Federal Reserve rate cuts that could lower home, auto, and other loans.